From the Voice of America, this is Asia Weekly. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines insight as the ability to understand people and situations in a very clear way, or an understanding of the true nature of something. One man who many view as insightful is the Dalai Lama. So, what is it like to meet the spiritual leader of Tibet? Hi everyone, I'm Steve Miller. It's Thanksgiving time here in the United States, a time when many Americans travel across the country to be with friends and family and to reflect and simply be gracious. It's also a time when many opt to help others who are less fortunate. One person who advocates for compassion is the Dalai Lama of Tibet. Joining me on the line via Skype is Curtis S. Chin, former ambassador to the Asian Development Bank and fellow at the Milken Institute. Curtis, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.
Curtis, you met with the Dalai Lama earlier this year, and I think a question many have, including myself, is how does one set up a meeting with the Dalai Lama? I mean, this is an individual who has met with President Obama. How do you set up a meeting?
Well, you know, it was a very special moment, and I'd hate to say that, but maybe it was karma. But as I think about it, you know, I've been in and out of the U.S. government, been involved in many ways with the refugee community, very involved with the Himalayan region. And so earlier this year, I actually sent in a formal request, and actually everyone, every citizen of any country can send in a request to His Holiness's office. His office, you know, his government is in exile, the Tibetan government in exile, is in a beautiful small town called Dharamsala, in really one of the northernmost parts of India. And that's, you know, really on the other side of the border with Tibet, of course, is now a part of China. So really, I sent in a request, and certainly I think people there knew me. There were connections in terms of people I had worked with, who had friends, who were related to people in His Holiness's office. So in many ways, it was a request for me out of the blue, just thinking about all the wonderful things that I have learned from the writings, the teachings, things that the Dalai Lama has said, which I think have relevance, particularly at this time today, the importance of kindness, the importance of people coming together with your immediate family members or a kind of a diaspora family or just people that in some ways recognizing that we are all connected. So really it was a simple request that I sent into His Holiness's office. And then surprisingly, I got a reply that indeed the audience was granted, but I had to make my own way at my own expense to Dharamsala. So a lot of thinking went into it, but thankfully I have so many airplane mileage points that flying around for business gave me the chance also to go to India. So for me this year was really a very special moment. But something also happened this year that I wanted to share, which was, you know, a little bit of a personal story, which was sadly, of course, for me, but for anyone who goes through this. But my mom passed away. And for me, you know, during this time, like so many Americans, so many people around the world, dealing with a family illness, you know, really changes your life. You know, what do I do? And in that case, should I even go to see the Dalai Lama? You know, this happened with my mom during a time in which the audience with the Dalai Lama was, what, a month or so away. You know, I really didn't know what would happen with my mom. And so what happened to me this year was very special. You know, talking with my family, talking with others who are in that situation where you don't know if a loved one will be with you one more day or one more year. My family had said, well, no, you should go. But clearly, you know, what do I do if I go and then my mom passes away while I'm gone? But I did make the decision with my family and others that I would go for this audience. And again, in a bit of karma, a bit of magic, you know, a bit of coincidence, who knows? My mom, you know, of course, sadly passed away one Friday morning. But my flight to Dharamsala via Delhi, via London, was that evening. So I flew out from Washington Dulles Airport en route to India for me a very contemplative period, very sad, of course, but also a sense of, you know, the timing in a weird way was okay. My mom had passed away. I was soon on a plane. And this came to be a very special a story, a very moment that I've shared. I shared at my mom's eulogy when she was she was buried at Arlington National Cemetery in that beautiful old Fort Myer chapel. I said to a gathering of friends and family a story that I want to share with you, that I want to share with your audience. That, you know, I got on this plane in Washington to London, to Delhi, overnighting in Delhi at the airport, onto Dharamsala. And then a special morning, you know, my audience with the Dalai Lama was an early Wednesday morning. And so his compound is a simple, certainly bigger than I think other compounds, but really a simple compound if you think it's the Dalai Lama. This is the spiritual leader of Buddhists around the world. And the reality is that I'm not Buddhist, you know, I'm Christian, you know, I go to Fifth Avenue Presbyterian in New York City, but very much I think whatever your faith or if you have no faith, I think the teachings of the Dalai Lama are very important, particularly at this time in our world. So I go to this grand compound, not so big, but certainly much bigger than your, you know, your everyday church or temple or synagogue, went through a lot of security, you know, no cameras, no phones, and going through metal detectors. And I was led ultimately into a simple meeting room. You know, imagine two couches facing each other, two armchairs by those couches, and around a room that was maybe, you know, as big as a small living room where Buddhist tankas, paintings on the walls, and one side of that room is glass windows. So sitting there, waiting, they left me there, the Dalai Lama's team, and they said, you know, just wait here, and he'll make his way to you. But, you know, when I look out the window, I saw His Holiness. I saw the Dalai Lama. It's one set of windows which led into a hallway that goes along this room. And on the other side of this hallway is another set of windows. So really, I'm looking through two sets of windows, and I see the Dalai Lama. And lined up at this early time in the morning, I think it might have been 7:15 or so a.m., was a long line of Tibetans and others coming to see His Holiness. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I get to sit here because I'm a former U.S. ambassador, but I'll be sitting or standing in that line sometimes too soon. And I really didn't know if I had 30 seconds or 1 minute with the Dalai Lama. And earlier I'd asked one of his staff members, you know, how long do I have with His Holiness? And he said to me with a smile, well, it really depends what you have to say. If you've got nothing to say, it'll be over just like that. And so I said to him, well, currently I'll have something to say.
Well, did you worry that you wouldn't have anything to say?
No, you know, I really didn't know what to say, but, you know, I recently come really to talk about the Tibetan diaspora. You know, I've worked with refugees. I've been on the board of directors of a group in New York called World Education Services, working with really refugees coming into the U.S. for education and other purposes. But again, my connection with this part of the world, with the Himalayan region, has been, I don't know, decades running. From being a volunteer right out of college in Nepal to when I resigned as the U.S. ambassador to something called the Asian Development Bank, the travel to Tibet to make what is called a kora, almost like a walking around, a circumambulation of a very beautiful and sacred to Buddhist mountains called Kailash. And so I really came and I put the request in to talk about what could I now do. It's just like any American, no longer a government official, no longer a big corporate muckety-muck. What could I do as a private citizen now to advance the cause of the Tibetan community, to advance the cause of people really struggling to maintain their religion, their identity, their culture? So really that was my goal. But again, things turned upside down with the death of my mom. And so I did. I asked the one of his team members, you know, could I actually talk to him about my mom? And they said, absolutely, ask him for a blessing. And so before I went in, I came prepared. You know, I had brought two photos of my mom, one when she was very young, 18, a nursing student out of a school in Baltimore, Maryland, to one of her last photos with me, my dad, my sister, when she was looking frail at the age of 88. I brought those two photos, and so, you know, I'm in this room, I hear the Dalai Lama outside, through these windows, the windows are open, and I thought, you know, even if I spent 30 seconds with him, how magical that is, how blessed I feel. And my hope that I could share that same moment and blessing with others. And by karma, here I am doing so. So ultimately, he came into the room. I walked up to him and I brought...
So what was that like? You saw him through the windows. You see him meeting other people outside. And then he makes his way into the room where you were. When you first saw him, what did you think? What did you feel?
Really a magical moment. You know, how it worked was that, so he kind of vanishes from outside. You know, I don't know where he enters, but then slowly makes his way then into that hallway between those two sets of glass windows. Two wooden doors with big glass panels. He comes through. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the Dalai Lama. You know, he looks like what you imagine he looks like. I feel that he's looked this way for many years, but it clearly he's grown older. But, you know, I think maybe the sense of spiritualism, the wonders that you might associate with him have only grown stronger. So he came into the room. There's two other people with Ben. And I've been told in advance that I should prepare. It's called a kata, which is like a long white silk scarf, which then I walked up to him as he came into the room, presented with two hands that scarf to him, which he then in a prayerful, you know, motion, his hands in prayer, takes the scarf, puts it to his own forehead, says a blessing, and then puts it back on to me. You know, what a beautiful moment for me. And then we walked that 5, 6, 8 feet to those two sets of couches and those two chairs. So let me describe that moment for you. So I am at the end of one set of couch, one of the set of couches, and he's right next to me in one of those two armchairs. So we're kind of a little bit catty-cornered to each other. I'm at the end of a couch, and he's in the chair next to me. But we don't yet sit down because I'm thinking, well, he's the Dalai Lama, leader of so many around this world. He should sit first. That's protocol. Even though his staff had told me, you know, he doesn't like protocol. Just be yourself. So he motioned to me to sit down. And, of course, I motioned to him to sit down. So it was a little bit of a comedy routine where we both smiled and laughed. And I said, okay, let's both sit down. So we sat down together. And I began, you know, I thought I requested the meeting. And I said to His Holiness, Your Holiness, you know, I originally requested this meeting. You know, I stepped down as the U.S. ambassador to the Asian Development Bank, very involved with the refugee community, very concerned about the plight of the Tibetan diaspora. And so really, I came to talk to you about more, what can anyone do in terms of their education, their continuing their culture and their religion. But something changed right before I got onto that plane. My mom passed away. And clearly, he was taken aback. So this goes to staff work, because clearly, the staff hadn't told him. He was taken aback. And he said to me, like many people say to me when I share this story, well, how old was your mom? And I said, you know, she lived a long time. She lived 88 full years. And then he said to me, the Dalai Lama said to me, you know, it is not whether you live a long time or whether you live a short time. It's whether you have meaning in your life, whether your life is meaningful. And that's so true, so true, whether it's Thanksgiving time or any time of the year, so true. And I said to him, you know, well, I think it was meaningful. It was my mom. And I said to him, you know, may I show some photos of you, of her to you? And what can he say? He said, of course. So I took out these printouts, you know, that made in Dharamsala at a little Indian shop of these photos of my mom that I had on my computer. Again, one when she was really, I don't know, 18, 19, 20, finishing up her nursing studies in Baltimore, Maryland, a little black and white photo with her nursing cap on, and one when she was 88, frail but smiling. So the Dalai Lama looked at these photos. He took them from me, and he put them on his forehead, and he closed his eyes, and he began another chant, another prayer. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, you know, this is so surreal. Should I be laughing? You know, should I be crying? I thought maybe I should be crying. My mom had just passed away, and here I am. Her photo is stuck on the head of the Dalai Lama, and he's saying a prayer for her. How magical. And I thought, well, you know, again, maybe I thought later, because I don't know what I was thinking right then, other than what a special moment. I thought later, you know, maybe this is karma, that maybe my mom is up there, and anyone who has a lost relative is up there looking down at what is happening here on this earth. And so that was a very special time, a special moment. And it ended up the Dalai Lama spent a half hour with me. And we talked about so many things. So, of course, we first talked about life and death. For those of you in social media, I have to say that, you know, I wish I had, you know, photos and videotape to share on social media. But what the Dalai Lama's office does is they provide you, you know, photos of your meeting with him. So I've shared those on social media. And more importantly, I felt, you know, trying to get out some of the things he said to me, I shared soon after on Twitter, a number of, and maybe they're paraphrases because I'm recollecting that special moment, but sharing some of the many special thoughts that he shared with me that day. I shared with others on social media with a hope that others that might read that or might share it again will also be blessed and take some lessons from him. When I think about many of the things we spoke about at this time, and His Holiness the Dalai Lama said to me that when you think about life, you know, think about, you know, again, your impact, think about the meaningful of a life, no matter how long or how short. And I have to say, you know, because, you know, I'm also from the world of business and politics, I took advantage of the situation to ask His Holiness questions about the world we lived in. I asked him about President Obama. I asked him about Donald Trump, who was not yet our president-elect. I asked him about many things, about what we could all do to improve relations between countries. And he also asked me many questions and gave me his perspectives on things. So let me share a couple points he said to me. You know, he said to me that he felt that, you know, he said to me, he didn't say he feels me, he said, I love America. You know, how special that is as an American to hear the Dalai Lama say to me, I love America. You know, I quickly responded, I hope it's true, but I said, and America loves you. The Dalai Lama went on, though, to say that he felt the U.S. had not done enough. Perhaps in recent years, there was no sense of timing, had not done enough, and the United States should do more to speak up for freedom, for democracy, and for human rights. And I think that's so true. No matter who the president is of the United States is also about values of freedom, of democracy, and human rights. And I think the Dalai Lama understands that, and the Dalai Lama encourages that in all his interactions with people. We also talked, we asked each other about our thoughts on various things. The Dalai Lama said to me, this was the week where President Obama had made a landmark trip to Vietnam. And whether or not you agree or disagree with the politics, I understand what the Dalai Lama meant when he said, I feel it is a good thing that President Obama went to Vietnam. You know, I think later that week, the president of the United States went on to Hiroshima, you know, to the site, of course, to the first atom bombing in this world. But the Dalai Lama's message was a message of engagement, of talking to each other. It's a message that goes beyond any specific politics. And maybe being a little bit cheeky, I said to His Holiness, so if I were ever fortunate enough, lucky enough to have the chance to meet with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton or to meet with Donald Trump, what would I say? I said to him, what might you say that I say to them? What would be your advice to them? You, His Holiness, to Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And the Dalai Lama smiled and he looked at me and he said, I don't know. But he said, he then went on and then he went on to talk again about democracy and human rights. And I think, you know, I hope Donald Trump meets soon, as most presidents have in recent decades, meets at some point with the Dalai Lama, not afraid of a reaction by the mainland Chinese government. Because in many ways, I feel the Dalai Lama's cause transcends the politics of this moment in time. And so, you know, we talked about the President Obama's trip to Vietnam. We talked about human rights. We talked about the Tibetan cause. And he said to me, the Dalai Lama said to me, how often do you know, me, Curtis, go to China? And I said, you know, to be honest, I haven't been to China, you know, excluding, you know, Hong Kong, which is part of China, but I haven't been to, you know, the mainland part of China, maybe the last, you know, 2 years or so. But I laughed and he smiled and I said, but, you know, after I meet with you, maybe they're not letting me in. He smiled, but he said he hopes that the United States government, private citizens, people like me also encouraged the United States and China to speak to each other. You know, despite all the difficulties, I think that message of engagement will carry through in so many aspects of our life, whether it's, you know, family members who don't want to talk to each other, or governments that don't want to talk to each other. We got to remember the value of engagement if we're ever to move forward. You know, Dalai Lama asked me to encourage others, to encourage our own, my own U.S. government, to continue to encourage the Chinese to speak to the Dalai Lama. You know, the reality is that the mainland Chinese government has not engaged with the Tibetan government in exile for several years. And the Dalai Lama himself these days is actually no longer the leader of the Tibetan government in exile. He's the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people, of those who follow the form of Buddhism that the Dalai Lama leads. But his message, again, I think transcends politics and governments and religion. So again, what a special 30 minutes for me, high up in a hill station in India in Dharamsala. But it's a message that I think through karma maybe happened to me, you know, because of, you know, my mom's passing away. But I remember so much when the Dalai Lama said, it's not how long you live, it's not whether you have a long life or a short life, it's whether your life is meaningful. And so as families gather, you know, the United States for Thanksgiving or gather for whatever reason around this world, I think that sense of having meaning, making meaning in your life is so important at this time, at this troubled time, as the world moves forward with all that is happening right now.
Curtis S. Chin is a former ambassador with the Asian Development Bank and a fellow with the Milken Institute. Curtis, as always, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me this week.
Thank you. Always great to be with you. Blessings to you via Dharamsala.
If you enjoyed this week's podcast, please share it with your friends. And of course, to get it delivered to you automatically, subscribe in iTunes. You can also download the podcast at voanews.com. That is going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.